Welcome to the deep dive. Today we're digging into something, well, pretty bold.
Yeah, this idea about using the U.S. rail system for water.
Exactly. We're looking at a proposal from Continental Hydro, Inc.
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying, look, we've got, what, 160,000 miles of active rail?
Plus another 60,000 inactive. A huge network.
Right. And the idea is, could that be the answer to getting water from where it is to where it's desperately needed?
Well, that's the core problem, isn't it? North America actually has plenty of fresh water. The Mississippi, Great Lakes, snowmelt.
But it's all in the wrong places, relatively speaking.
Precisely.
Yeah.
You see crises like Lake Powell, Lake Mead, the Great Salt Lake, shrinking fast.
And conservation helps, but this proposal argues it's just not enough to fix the distribution imbalance.
Right. They're proposing we use this existing rail infrastructure already there, already graded, mostly flat, you know, 0 to maybe 2.2% grade,
uh-huh,
as a kind of broadband for water, encapsulated aqueducts running along the rails.
Broadband for water. I like that. And the huge advantage, I guess, is using established rights of way.
That's a big one. Avoids the whole nightmare of acquiring new land, eminent domain, all that.
Yeah, that sounds complex.
And the railroads themselves could, you know, use their own system to move the materials needed to build and maintain these aqueducts. It's sort of self-contained.
Makes sense. So how would it actually work? Just pipes along the main lines?
They envision it more like tributaries. The main aqueduct follows the rail line, but then smaller branches would peel off to reach specific areas of need.
Okay.
And they do touch on environmental stuff, too, like maybe elevating or burying pipes in certain spots so animals can still migrate.
Oh, interesting.
And filtering water at the source inlets. That's crucial to stop invasive species or bacteria moving through the system.
Right. You wouldn't want to transfer those. Now, you mentioned something else earlier, power generation. How does that fit in?
Yeah, this is pretty fascinating. They suggest using the natural downhill flow, the positive head in some sections.
Like gravity power.
Essentially, yeah.
Yeah.
Or even using pumping stations, perhaps powered by clean natural gas, to create pressurized sections. Either way, you can use that moving water to turn turbines.
Hydroelectric power, but along the rail line.
Exactly. They even float the idea of, like, portable hydro generators on rail spurs.
Portable.
Yeah. Imagine rolling a generator unit, maybe repurposed wind turbine tech, like 250 kilowatt to 1 megawatt units, to an intersection point with existing power lines, hook it up, generate power.
Wow. So the railroads could potentially get a new revenue stream managing these power units.
That's the idea. And they argue using natural gas for pumping could still be a net positive for the grid overall. So it's water and power.
Okay, this sounds massive. How would you even start?
They propose phases. Phase one is basically setting up the structure, a program management office or PMO.
The planning stage.
Right. Secure initial funding, figure out detailed costs, timelines, build out plans, maybe 2, 5, 10-year targets. And crucially, setting up water compacts between regions.
Getting everyone on board.
Yeah. Then phase two, though, it seems focused on when the water situation gets really critical.
The tipping point they mentioned.
Uh-huh. That's where they see a big need for government and commercial partnership. Really leveraging this rail network as maybe a greener alternative to other massive projects.
And the ultimate goal stretches even further, right? Something about desalination.
Yeah, long term, they see this same rail aqueduct network potentially transporting water from future coastal desalination plants too, building infrastructure for the future.
Who would even be in this PMO? Sounds like a lot of different groups.
It would have to be. They list universities like in Colorado, US DOT, Bureau of Reclamation, Army Corps of Engineers.
The usual suspects for big infrastructure.
DOE, NREL for energy, EPA for environment. Obviously the big railroads like BNSF and Union Pacific, plus construction and engineering firms. A huge collaboration.
To give people a sense of scale,
yeah,
they compared this to something in China.
Right. The South to North Water Diversion Project.
Yeah.
Huge project, cost over, what, $71 billion, moves about 45 billion cubic meters of water a year.
So it proves mega projects for water transfer are possible.
It shows it can be done, yeah. The scale is immense, but not unprecedented globally.
So what are the very first steps they recommend?
First, get that PMO authorized, then find seed funding. They suggest maybe a $7 million grant from infrastructure funds or private equity.
Just to get the ball rolling.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Staff the PMO, clearly define everyone's roles, build the technical partnerships, start planning and prioritizing the first sections to build.
And then develop the really detailed financial plan for presumably serious congressional funding.
That seems to be the path. verify the costs, make the big ask.
It's quite a vision, isn't it? Taking this like century-old rail network and repurposing it for maybe our biggest modern resource challenge.
It really is. Water, potential power generation, maybe even a backbone for future water sources like diesel. It's integrated thinking.
So it leaves you wondering, doesn't it? When you think about the scale of water we actually need to move and this massive rail network just sitting there, what do you think are the single biggest hurdles to making an idea like this actually happen? And what kind of creative thinking might be needed to get past them?